You're listening to WISO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Jerry Kenny. Thanks for joining us this Sunday morning. Continuing our series of faculty readings from this summer's Antioch Writers Workshop, this week we hear from Jeffrey Ford. He's the author of numerous novels and short stories, and his work has appeared in journals, magazines, and anthologies from Mad Magazine to the Oxford Book of American Short Stories. Here, Ford reads from his novel, The Shadow Years.
This is the first chapter, The Eyes. It began in the last days of August when the leaves of the elm in the front yard had curled into crisp brown tubes and fallen away to litter the lawn. I sat at the curb that afternoon waiting for Mr. Softy to round the bend at the top of Willow Avenue, listening carefully for that mournful knell, each measured ding both a promise of ice cream and a pinprick of remorse. Taking a cast-off leaf into each hand, I made double fists. When I opened my fingers, brown crumbs fell and scattered on the road at my feet. Had I been waiting for the arrival of that strange, changeling year, I might have understood the sifting debris to be symbolic of the end of something. Instead, I waited for the eyes. That morning, I'd left under a blue sky, walked through the woods and crossed the railroad tracks away from town, where the third rail hummed, lying in wait like a snake for an errant ankle. Then along the road by the factory, back behind the grocery and up and down the streets, I searched for discarded glass bottles in every open garbage can, dumpster, forgotten corner. I found three soda bottles and a half-gallon milk bottle. At the grocery store, I turned them in for the refund and walked away with a quarter. All summer long, Mr. Softy had this contest going. With each purchase of 25 cents or more, he gave you a card. On the front was a small portrait of the waffle-faced cream being pictured on the side of the truck. On the back was a piece of a puzzle that, when joined with seven other cards, made the same exact image of the beckoning soft one, but eight times bigger. I had the blue lapels and red bow tie, the sugar cone fleshed lips parted in a pure white smile, the exposed towering brain of vanilla cream-kissed at the top into a pointed swirl, but I didn't have the eyes. A complete puzzle won you the special softy, like Coney Island in a plastic dish. Four twirled softy loads of cream, chocolate sauce, butterscotch, marshmallow goo, nuts, party-colored sprinkles, raisins, M&Ms, shredded coconut, bananas, all topped with a cherry. You couldn't purchase the special softy. You had to win it, or so said Mel, who through the years had come to be known simply as Softy. Occasionally, Mel would try to be pleasant, but I think the paper canoe of a hat he wore every day soured him. He also wore a blue bow tie, a white shirt, and white pants. His face was long and crooked, and at times when the orders came too fast and the kids didn't have the right change, the bottom half of his face would slowly melt, a sundae abandoned at the curb. His long ears sprouted tufts of hair, as if his skull contained a hedge of it, and the lenses of his glasses had infernal flaws like diamonds. In a voice that came straight from his freezer, he called my sister Mary and all the other girls, sweetheart. Earlier in the season, one late afternoon, my brother Jim said to me, "You want to see where Softy lives?" We took our bikes. He led me way up Hammond Lane, past the shoe store and the junior high school, up beyond Our Lady of Lourdes. After a half hour of riding, he stopped in front of a small house. As I pulled up, he pointed to the place and said, "Look at that dump." Softy's truck was parked on a barren plot at the side of the place. I remember Ivy in a one-story house, no bigger than a good-sized garage. Shingles showed their zebra stripes through fading white. The porch had obviously sustained a meteor shower. There were no lights on inside, and I thought this strange because twilight was mixing in behind the trees. "Is he sitting in there in the dark?" I asked my brother. Jim shrugged as he got back on his bike. He rode in big circles around me twice and then shot off down the street, screaming over his shoulder as loud as he could, "Softy sucks." The ride home was through true night, and he knew that without him I would get lost, so he pedaled as hard as he could. We had forsaken the jingle bells of Bungalow Bar and Good Humor all summer in an attempt to win Softy's contest. By the end of July, though, each of the kids on the block had at least two near-complete puzzles, but no one had the eyes. I had heard from Tim Sullivan, who lived in the development on the other side of the school field, that the kids over there got fed up one day and rushed the truck. jumped up and swung from the bar that held the rearview mirror, invaded the driver's compartment, all the while yelling, "Give us the eyes." When Softy went up front to chase them, Tim's brother Bill leaped up on the sill of the window through which Softy served his customers, leaned into the inner sanctum, unlatched the freezer, and started tossing Italian ices out to the kids standing at the curb. Softy lost his glasses in the fray, but the hat held on. He screamed at them as they played him back and forth from the driver's area to the serving compartment. In the end, Mel got two big handfuls of cards and tossed them out onto the street. By the time they'd realized there were a pair of eyes in the bunch, Softy had turned the bell off and was coasting silently around the corner. I had a theory, though, that day at summer's end, when I sat at the curb waiting. It was my hope that Softy had been holding out on us until the close of the season. And then in the final days before school started, and he quit his route till spring, some kid was going to have bestowed upon him a pair of eyes. I had faith like I never had at church that something special was going to happen that day to me. It did, but it had nothing to do with ice cream. I sat there at the curb waiting until the sun started to go down and my mother called me in for dinner. Softy never came again, but as it turned out, we all got the eyes. Thank you.
Author Jeffrey Ford at the Antioch Writers Workshop.